is Kathleen Meadows, the tarot card reader. Kathleen, welcome back.
Hi, thank you.
A little bit of technical stuff before we get talking. I want to congratulate Zan, our first emailer, on winning the walking tour tickets for Muddy York Tours of Toronto. About people who are starting out doing readings.
Yes.
A lot of people have said to me they don't feel comfortable, even though their readings are really good, that their friends respond to them well, and other people that they've done readings for respond to them well. They feel very uncomfortable thinking about taking money for the reading because they still use their book to refer to. Do you think this is a real bad thing?
What I say to students who are learning the tarot is that they should take something in exchange for the reading. So even if they're not comfortable taking money, which may be understandable since they have to still keep looking the cards up, which means that that's very interrupting to the reading. That certainly would interrupt its flow, that's for sure. But I would say they should take something in exchange for the reading. It might be a dinner or maybe even a testimonial for, you know, how their client experienced the reading, which would be really helpful feedback for them anyway. But I would say something should be exchanged for the reading because it gives the client a buy-in to the process. So, in other words, we value something, we always value something much more if we're sacrificing something for it. Do you know what I mean?
I understand.
Yeah. So I think that exchange should happen, and they may be more comfortable with just asking for something simple like a coffee or a dinner or, you know, something.
Mm. We have a couple of emails, of course. Once we announce prizes,
right?
The computers can't handle the amount of email.
Okay,
that's good news. Good.
Anyway, we have there's a couple of people. Let me do the first one first.
Yeah.
Carol writes in and says, "Hi, Kathleen. What is your meaning of the death card?"
The what? The death card. Okay. The drama card. That's always the card that they show on TV, right? During a movie or something, they'll always pull out the death card. The death card is, of course, an ending. It's number 13, and it marks the ending. Now, obviously, it doesn't have to be a physical death, but it certainly is pointing to the end of something. So, depending on what the client's question is, for example, someone might say to me, you know, is this the man for me? And the death card would come up in, say, the mourning position. It's saying there's some big changes coming to this relationship, and quite honestly, I'd say it's not likely to be a relationship that will, you know, go on forever. This is a relationship that very likely is going to be one of those kind of a fear type of relationships, but not a relationship that's very likely to last long term. So it's the death card is an ending. And I know some tarotists are uncomfortable relating news which would be not so happily embraced by the client, but I think you do yourself and your work just a misjustice not to be really honest with what you're seeing. The death card, I think, challenges most readers more than probably clients, although I've had clients gasp when they see it. So that's why I often, you know, jokingly refer to it as the drama card. So it is an ending. And a rebirth. It has a potential for rebirth. Doesn't always say, you know, but it's a card which says, okay, something's ended here. Time to move on. Look forward.
Great. So Carol wins the free reading. So congratulations, Carol. And what's the next email, Gary?
This lady actually wrote back, and her email came through, but it didn't specifically ask a question. So I did write her back, in all fairness, to ask her to please rewrite a question, and then I'll get back to you as soon as that happens.
All right, so this other person will win something from the goodie bag closet.
Yeah, sure. Of course.
Yeah, all right. So, Kathleen,
Kathleen, one question. I was intrigued when you were talking about in the cards in a certain position.
Yes.
Being like cards reversed or cards on an angle. Like, can you explain more about that?
There's a what's called a layout. And again, there's hundreds and hundreds of layouts. There's as many layouts, really, as there are people. I encourage students, as they're advancing, to design their own layout. A layout is a position that the card is going to take. So when you're doing readings, there's kind of a number of different factors that come into it. So you have the client's question, which is going to direct the energy, we'll say, of the reading, and then you have the layout, which is the positioning. So a position might be, like a warning position that I mentioned. There would be a near future position, a distant future position, a past position, and then and then it's really open, like I said, to what kind of a layout. Some layouts are better suited depending for certain questions. So you have like love layouts and you have health layouts and so on. So did that answer your question?
Well, some people say that when the tarot cards are read, that the reader should place them starting on the left-hand side, starting on the right-hand side, or if a card then appears reversed, it's the reverse meaning of the card, that kind of thing.
Okay. The reversals, that's another one of those things that I'd read about before I started teaching. Reversals, of course, the idea is that when a card shows up upside down, then the energy of the card is blocked or is the opposite to what its classic divinatory meaning would be. I happen to think that reversals are rather contrived. I don't use them myself. I don't see a need for them. All cards are, their meaning is neutral. So in other words, all cards have sort of a plus and minus to them, or light and dark. You could think of it that way, a shadow and light. So I don't see any need, really, to do reversals or to read reversals. And so I don't really teach them, and I don't particularly encourage them. I think it's a fairly modern phenomenon. Somebody came up with the idea, wrote some books about it, and then, everybody kind of jumped on the bandwagon, and it's carried along. Now, some people really like to read reversals. They like the variety that it offers them, or perhaps, again, the dramatic effect. There's a lot of reasons, I guess, why people like reversals. Personally, I don't use them. But a layout is actually a pattern that you're going to lay the cards on. So you have the meaning of the card, and you have its positioning in the layout. So it's not a matter of laying sort of putting one left side or the right side. A pattern is a, it might be a full circle with a cross in the middle. You have the, or you have the sort of classic pattern that has a cross in the middle and then cards going up the right-hand side. So there's a number of different half circles. There's a number of different ways, patterns that you can lay the cards out in. And each position in that layout identifies a meaning. So, like I said, there could be a central theme, a past. Usually there is a past position, and I have people asking me, why do you sort of mention a past card? I know what's happened in my past. I don't need to know about my past. Well, a past position kind of plants the energy at a certain time and place. And so because you're looking at what's happening in your life over a period of time going forward. So you have past, present, and future. So you have a past position to know what happened in that past that's led to what's going on right now and how that energy is going to unfold going into the future. Did that answer your question?
Yeah. Now, can a reader decide they want to intuitively just do their own spread? Like, can they make up their own?
Yes, yes, I encourage readers to do that. Exactly. Because I think a lot of patterns, somebody has just thought them up. So there's no reason why, as a reader, you can't design your own layouts that work with, you know, the way you do readings and the sorts of questions that clients tend to ask. And that way you can just have, you know, certain positions that make a lot of sense or would answer questions that clients really would like to know the answer to. And that's what I find with a number of layouts is often they have positions that people don't even care about knowing the answer to. So it's kind of irrelevant. I encourage people to design their own layouts all the time. I think it's advisable.
What's involved in a tarot reading? Is this a bunch of magic? Is this a bunch of mumbo jumbo? Is this real? Like,
well, I think it's a way to, first of all, I think it helps you to think laterally. In so many areas of our lives, we're encouraged and lauded for thinking very linearly, which is not a creative way to think, and it doesn't, it's not conducive to opening your mind. And so the tarot does that because it's very random. It's going to carry your mind around around a pattern that it wouldn't normally think about. You're going to have to make associations that you wouldn't normally do. And I think that kind of deeks open the mind to perceiving information in a way that you're not accustomed to and is quite lateral. So I think it has a benefit that way. The cards themselves are cards. There's nothing really magical about them. I think they constellate an awareness of archetypes in the unconscious mind, just like dream interpretation does. And I think it helps you to mature, actually, to think about things. It's like a course in psychology, and but with a kind of a very deep twist to it. I mean, a lot of people just wouldn't take a psychology course; they'd probably find it rather dry. But studying the tarot is a great way to study psychology, but particularly for people that are really visually oriented and really love stories. If you want to learn how to tell stories, the tarot is a great vehicle for that. What else can I tell you about it? I think it's been a wonderful experience for me. It's a synchronicity tool. I've had people tell me things that they probably never told anybody else in their life through a tarot reading, just because it's opened up their mind and experience and ways of thinking about their life that they've never kind of thought about it from that perspective before.
We just got another email in. This one is from Patty, and she asks, why do different readings use different numbers of cards?
Okay, we're going to answer that question after the break. We're going to go to a commercial and a song, and Kathleen will help you answer that question. We'll repeat it when we come back. Thanks a lot.
Okay.